All right, it's been a crazy afternoon for me. The network has been terrible, and I've faced so many challenges on the show today. But of course, you know, like I would always say, we would weather the storm so that we can push the conversation for development. Okay, development. I am Kalad Akorubatibor, and this is Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. Time check, 5:10 p.m. Yes, 10 minutes gone past the hour of 5. And it's time for us to talk and talk for development. I've got a guest. I'll introduce him shortly. But before I do, I'm going to reel out what I want you and I to talk about. And it has to do with a statement made by the presidential candidate of the PDP during the 2023 presidential election. I'm talking about Atiku Abubakar. And he has come out to say that opposition parties should come together to save Nigeria. Okay, so we have new figures. I mentioned it yesterday. We have new figures when we're talking inflation. It's somewhere around 27.33%. I hope I'm correct. I think I read that during the business news. I'm just going to quickly check. Where is it now? Yeah, 27.33%, which means that, you know, things got more expensive in the month of October and is likely to even get more expensive in the month of November, which you and I are currently experiencing. And like KPMG says, 30% by the end of December. Okay. And so the economy is not necessarily doing very well. And Atiku is saying it's because of how the economy has been handled by the current administration. And he also mentioned the fact that there is a likelihood that Nigeria is fast becoming a one-party state because of how elections have gone in recent times and all of that stuff. So I'm going to quickly read from the Vanguard so you get a glimpse of what Atiku was trying to say. The 2023 presidential candidate of the People's Democratic Congress, or rather, they made a mistake there, I believe, the People's Democratic Party has called for the merger of opposition political parties to present a formidable front. Atiku, who also warned against the likelihood of Nigeria slipping to becoming a one-party state, may be expressing concern on the next general elections coming up in 2027. The former vice president made the remarks on Tuesday when he hosted the National Executive Committee of the Inter-Party Advisory Council Nigeria. According to the former vice president, the project of protecting democracy in our country is not about just one man. You have come here today to say that we should cooperate to promote democracy. But the truth of the matter is that democracy is fast becoming a one-party system. And of course, you know that when we have a one-party system, we should just forget about democracy. So, I Labour Party, I mean, up until they decided to work with Peter Obi, we're not necessarily a strong opposition party. When we talked opposition party in Nigeria, we're talking about the PDP, right? And at some point, it was APC on the other side, until they came together, you know, a couple of parties came together and formed the APC. Anyways, I'm done talking. I'm even running out of breath and I can't even call my words out anymore. I've got Gogo Wellington, who is the publicity secretary, Labour Party in River State. And the last time we had a conversation similar to opposition parties and what they can give and how they can put the government on the toes or on its toes. So we're going to be looking at it with Gogo Wellington. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, good afternoon, Kalada.
It's good to see you in person.
Yeah, same here.
All right, so what do you make of what Atiku Abubakar is calling for? I remember just before the elections, there was also the call for, you know, a merger, and the argument was who will be the top man, right? And now we are done with election. Now it's time for governance, and yet there's still that call for a merger. The young people backed the Labour Party. The young people were the structure of the Labour Party. Do you see, as you know, in your office as publicity secretary of Labour Party in Rivers, do you see that merger happening? You know, if that merger happens, do you still think the young people will be in support? I remember in 2014 when the merger that gave birth to the APC happened, you know, it became a force. So a merger may bring about a force, but do you see that happening?
Okay, first of all, article called for unity of the opposition parties, right? And talking about a merger right now would be putting the cart before the horse.
Why do you say so?
First of all, the issue of the merger before the election, which was brought up by certain interest groups or stakeholders, if I may say so, was just an issue of political calculation, if I would put it that way.
All right.
Trying to merge forces to see how we could defeat one big enemy or one common enemy, right? But it's beyond that, because we saw what happened with the APC in 2015. It's beyond just winning elections, right? So when you have the PDP and you have the Labour Party, there's an ideological gap between both parties. It's not just about bringing people together. It's about seeing how they could actually marry their ideas and see how to push this ideology forward. So at a time like this, when the elections are over, everybody's counting their losses, trying to assimilate what happened through the electoral process, trying to check mistakes that were made and see how they can correct them. This is a time for unity. This is a time for healing, right? So we're trying to heal, we're trying to unite, we're trying to discuss. But I feel the time for the talk of a merger would come, and that would bring about a coming together of ideas, a coming together of an indoctrination process of some kind, to see how people can actually, if there's going to be any sort of merger or unity of that sort, to see how the ideas could actually be infused to one common ideology before we can start talking about pushing a common front. Because anything short of that will just see us repeating the APC mistake of 2015.
Now, let me ask you a question. You say APC mistake. The three political parties, the big political parties, like we call them, you know, or even four. I hear there are four. You know, APC number one. I don't know who's number two, so I'm not going to call in any particular order. But we've got PDP, Labour, and NNPP. Do any of these parties have ideologies? Let's start from there, because with the way Labour Party came into the mix, there is Peter Obi, and their young people started going, do they have an ideology? Do political parties in Nigeria have an ideology that Nigerians can hold on to and say, okay, Labour Party stands for this, like we know the Republicans in America stand for, or PDP stands for this, like we know Democrats in America stands for, or even in the UK? Can we say there is an ideology?
Okay, before the coming in of the Labour Party, right, we could say that. That was one of our concerns when we came in. And the thing is, there wasn't enough time before the election for some of these things to sink in into the public, because there was this electoral rush. You know, Nigerians, we like to rush the electoral process as though it's not going to come again. That's how. That's why those that tend to use extreme measures act the way they do, because they feel like, this thing is like Christmas. It's coming, like it's not going to come again. But the Labour Party actually has a deep, deep core ideology entrenched in socialism, right? Socialist ideology with a little bit of capitalism, not extremist.
have you not ended up confusing us, Nigerians?
No. There's social capitalism, right? Like what is being practiced in some Scandinavian countries, right? And this has been seen to work in lots of countries, right? So, democracy, if you don't put a little bit of everything into
so
it,
like,
right?
A mixed economy.
Yeah, like a kind of mixed. Economic policy.
And so I think in government we call the mixed economy, if I remember vividly.
Yeah, there is a name for it, right? So I believe a time will come. Like I said, the election is over. It's passed now. So we're trying to see how to put our houses together. The LG party chapters, the state party chapters, the national structure. Everyone knows we there are some issues over there which we know we're going to come out of very soon, right? So by the time all this is done with, the issue of political parties not having structures or not having ideologies will be a thing of the past. But I know that lots of these other political parties rush the process. They just want to grab power, which has been the mistake that most of these parties have. But we have ample time now to put our house together.
And so let me get you right. You're saying your party has got an ideology. You may not be certain about other opposition parties' ideologies, but you're certain that the ideology still mix, and so there is no possibility for a merger.
I did not say that.
I'm trying to understand you. Maybe I'm trying to put words in your mouth, but...
No, yeah, exactly. That's what you're trying to do.
So what are you saying then?
What I'm saying is this. We are just coming out of an electoral season, right? The possibility of a merger before the election was a total no-no, because that would have been mixing water and oil.
Okay.
That they will marry. Mm. So now there is enough time for discussions, for sessions, for seminars or whatever it is, workshops, to see how we could put these ideas, because whatever it is that we're doing as the Labour Party has to be ideologically driven, because, you know, the Labour Party did not just, the young people you're seeing in the Labour Party did not just pop up from nowhere. Something ignited their interest.
Okay.
In politics, right? And we could see that happened with the event of the NSAS in 2020, which saw to it that lots of young people started thinking, asking themselves, why are we not involved in the political process? Mm. Why are we victims all of a sudden in our own system? Mm. Why don't we get involved? And with the coming up of the Beavers and the IREV and all the promises that the government made, it also ignited the interest of the young ones, and they all got involved. So I sit where we are now. So after these processes have come and gone, we've learned our lesson. We've seen the failures of the government. We've seen where the promises were made and not kept. We have also seen the gaps we had as electorates to follow up these promises that they made. So lessons have been learned. So there's ample time for discussions to be heard.
Before I talk about, you know, what you've referred to as elections have come and gone, let's stay with the elections for a bit, and let's stay with the merger. You said it's like mixing oil and water, but do you think, looking back, that if that merger, that oil and water, had become a thing, that just maybe you would have been able to win the elections? Why I'm asking, the gap was not much. 8+ million, 6+ million, 6+ million. If the 6+ million were added together, it would have been, what, 12+ million? Mm-hmm. Could you have won the election?
That could have been a victory, yes. Yes, that was a possibility, right? Mm-hmm. But like I said, at what expense, right? At what expense? Because we saw what happened, the whole euphoria that came with the coming of the APC in 2015. Heaven and earth was promised.
But some people would argue that APC may have done some good. Some people.
Every government has 4 years, first of all, to turn around the situation of things in the country, right? 4 years. With the 4 years given to APC, apart from the maybe a few road construction projects and maybe a few economic policies that we can't remember, I don't see anything monumental that could have turned the hand of time to make us regain the lost time that we have lost since the beginning of this fourth democratic dispensation, right? Mm. So we're talking about policies that will see to it that the lives of the average Nigerian changes, but we're still talking about bad roads as at 20 plus years into this democratic dispensation. We're still talking about power issues. We don't have power. Healthcare issues, like these are basic things. We're not even talking about technological development or advancement or things that are so complicated, right? We're talking about basic developmental requirements, right? That is where the ideology comes in as a party. When you are going in, the APC, as it were, had a very beautiful manifesto, right? They promised all sorts, right? But when it came to execution, that is where ideology now varied from action.
That's where I want to drive us to. There's a commercial break coming. I wanted to ask, you know, we can have, you know, beautiful ideas on paper, but when it comes to reality, you know, it becomes rocket science. And I was going to ask you, do you think Labour Party would have done any different? But if you say yes, how do you think Labour Party can play opposition? Or even, do you think a merger, yet again, working together, call it unity, whatever name, oil and water, but do you think that would have become great opposition to the government in power to push them to do the right thing or to push them to implement the ideologies, the beautiful ideologies you say they campaigned with. And then there is also the question about if we have good opposition at the national and in River State, because in River State, the PDP as a party has been the leading party for, you know, for a long time since inception. But we'll go for a quick commercial. When we'll come back, we'll talk some more.
Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, I still have Gogo Wellington in the studio. Yes, you're listening to Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info. And Gogo Wellington is the Publicity Secretary of Labour Party in River State. Good to have you.
Same here, good to be here.
All right, so we've been talking about, you know, Atiku's call for there to be unity amongst the opposition parties to usurp the APC, you know, maybe in 2027, but then is calling for the opposition parties to work together to kick against a one-party state. And before we went on that break, I asked the question, you know, we're talking ideologies of the political parties and implementation. And I asked, you know, would the Labour Party have been able to implement some of the beautiful ideas that they reeled out during the campaign season? Because in Nigeria, we have great talkers, but poor performance. Gogo, what would you say would have been the performance of Labour Party if they were, you know, up there, directing the country?
Okay, you know, the beauty of democracy is that the power emerges from the people.
Okay.
People own the power.
Okay.
So it's just given to you in office for you to carry out the responsibilities or function that hitherto the people would not be able to do on their own. So it's more or less like a social contract. But the problem with the current people holding political office is that they have abused that power given to them, because they know in the first place it wasn't given to them by the people willingly. They have forcefully taken it by state capture, I wouldn't be too extreme, because that's what is actually happening. Because you see a situation where political actors have actually captured the agencies of state, which are supposed to protect the institution of democracy. So for us in the Labour Party, you know, lots of political actors were criticizing the mode of operation of the Labour Party because it wasn't conventional, right? They felt, oh, people are just everywhere. Where's their structure? This, that, that. Because this power actually emerges from the people. The votes were given by the people. So while the Labour Party as a party maybe did not have the time to put certain things or structures in place, but these people giving you this responsibility would eventually demand responsibilities of you. Right? So when you are given something willingly, when you are entrusted with a responsibility, you that have been, that has been given that responsibility, you know that the people will ask you questions. Therefore, you would prepare for that question to come, so you would have answers to give to the people.
Now, why I ask you that question is because Nigerians have been calling out Labour Party legislators at the national level, you know, the SUVs. You said it's a party with the ideology that's got socialism or socialism.
Social democracy.
Okay.
Social democracy.
Yeah, and a bit of capitalism, you said. But then 160 million does not sound like government for the people. And so implementation gone wrong, can I say. But then again, there is also all of these beautiful things you've said and the party being in opposition. How then can the party play good opposition? Yet again, is it by working with other political parties, or how best?
You know, the challenge with what is happening right now is that the reason Labour Party, many people did not know why the Labour Party was targeting the top.
Okay.
Right? Because that is where the rot actually emerges from.
Oh, really?
In the process of all these the hula-bula about the 100-something million naira SUVs being... The Labour Party chairman actually came out to make a statement.
Yes, he did.
And he called on the Labour Party members of parliament not to accept. The Labour Party made a statement. But you see, politics is a very funny arena, right? Where people get into office And when the odds are seemingly against them, they tend not to want to stand alone. They start betraying the trust of those that pushed them there. But the truth is, lots of those persons that were elected by the Labour Party have started feeling the heat. People on the outside would not know yet. You understand?
Okay.
Because certain things would unfold in the coming months, because it is if we start doing certain things now, people would say, oh, it's too early, give them some time, right? But those representing the Labour Party, I can see, not 100%, right, are feeling the heat. In River City, we have just one representative, right, for Faga constituency.
Yeah, true.
And we can speak for ourselves by saying that certain things have actually been done by way of communication, right? By way of demand or request for some level of responsibility, right?
Mm.
So when these things are not heeded to, the party has certain instruments that it can always use, right? Because for our national chairman to have come out to make that statement, it is expected that loyal party members should respond, because the people, most of them did not even spend monies as much as other party members spent for their campaigns. They were purely taken to that office by the will of the people.
Mm.
So therefore, that's demands are going to be made of them.
But now, you see, I asked the question, how can Labour play opposition for the development of the people? And the reason why I asked that question is because you've just told us about the people in Parliament and how they were not able to stick to the side of the people or stay on the side of the people, but decided to, you know, play with, you know, the majority in the Parliament. And the reason why I'm asking is the members of Parliament that belong to the Labour Party have said, oh, there's nothing we can do. We're just, you know, few in numbers. And besides, it's a car for official duties. Now, the question is, how best can Labour play, or Labour Party, because Labour is on strike, Labour Party, how best can they play opposition for the development of Nigeria, given the beautiful ideologies you've reeled out on the show, and given the fact that 2027 is, you know, four years away?
Okay, right now, despite the fact that elections are over and all, the angle of the coalition or the unity that Atiku has been calling for, that I'm actually very interested in, is the area of coalition for electoral reforms.
Mm.
Coalition of the opposition parties in the House of Representatives and the Senate, Parliament too, to see to it that certain bills are sponsored for reforms.
Mm.
If these reforms are not made, I don't think there's going to be any material change.
So you're saying the opposition political parties would work together in Parliament?
That is the area of the coalition that I am very much interested in.
Okay.
That we should be very much interested in. Because when there is no level playing field, when the before you even start the game, you're already being led like 3-0. So what are the odds? Right? So the policies at play right now do not favor fair competition. Right? So if the members of the opposition parties in the parliament can actually come together to see how certain bills can be sponsored to see to these reforms being put in place, like the issue of the ambiguities with the use of beavers and IREV, and issues about transmission of election results and all that. Atiku spoke about the issue of electronic voting and electronic voting and transmission of results. All these issues are things that are very pertinent in our polity. So if these opposition parties could actually come together, apart from the issue of mergers, if we can actually create a level playing field and see to it that transparent elections can actually be held for once in Nigeria, that would be a great milestone that must have been covered.
All right, so opposition should be working to ensure that the next election is free, fair, credible, and inclusive.
Sure.
All right. What about the economy? I mean, the economy must be biting where you are?
Of course. It's biting where everyone is. So now some persons are buying petrol for above 700 naira.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's fair for anyone. And I don't think anybody's remuneration has been magically doubled or tripled in the last two to three months.
But how can we play opposition?
Okay, first of all, the issue of economic policy is one that requires a lot of technicality, right?
Mm.
I want to say this, not in support of the government in power, right? economic decisions are not magical.
Okay.
Right? Lots of the bad decisions that were made by the previous government would definitely show in this government.
Okay.
Like the unnecessary exposure in terms of debt. Lots of our revenues from oil will be going into debt servicing, which is already going to put the government in tight corner, in a very tight corner. So there are now, I think the government should really be looking at expansionary fiscal policies that will boom the spending capacity of the populace to see how to improve the life style and what I call it.
That's why I asked, you know, what can opposition do to make this happen?
What we can do is to keep suggesting, right? Because in terms of policy, policy making is totally the job of the government. We can only make comments and criticize. You understand? So like they said, the advisors of the president are the persons that actually determine the direction of the economy. So if the president cannot, as I can see now, his economic team is not so, or what I call it, superb, right? So if he cannot put together a very solid economic team to put together the economic policy of the nation to see that this wrong trajectory is reversed, I don't think there's anything anybody's going to do about it.
Do you think it would be a good idea for Peter Obi to work with the government, given you don't think so?
Not at all.
I mean, we could have talked about River State and opposition, but my time is up. And thank you very much, Gogo Wellington, for coming in.
Thank you.
All right. It is always a pleasure having, you know, a chat with you on radio.
Thank you.